Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. It is a wild news time here, but Jason, I guess we should start with how the season ended. And you and I are kind of on this similar page with the Packers throughout the year. I get called a hater and all that, but it was more of turn on your microphone.
What's up with that?
But Jason, give a synopsis on what you felt about this season and how it wrapped. Because I heard you and Mark had a great discussion yesterday. I was listening to a lot of Schadenfreude for me. Like, I really love to tune into you guys after a loss. So I listened to a lot of the show.
That's why people call you a hater.
But I don't understand why people call me a hater. But
judgmental Jim.
What were your, after a whole day removed here in the Players Talk, what were your overall thoughts on this season?
Yeah, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
Right? And I love Javon Bullard, who's 22 years old and played on two national championship teams at Georgia, who basically said, look, like, we want to think we're a good team, but you got to beat good teams.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't consider, the quote was, you can't consider yourself to be one of those elite teams if you haven't beaten them. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know what you mean.
I just think that
the reality is that they're a good team that is at least a year away. They're certainly going to have an opportunity to add to their roster. But, like, you know, good teams, you know, the other part of the narrative that I really enjoyed was, well, we don't really feel like anybody beat us. We beat ourselves. Well, guess what? Good teams don't beat themselves. Mm-hmm. Good teams don't commit four turnovers, right? I mean, that you can't do that and have a chance to win. And you know, I appreciate Tucker Kraft saying that, you know, they could feel something brewing. Well, yeah, because you guys weren't very good offensively the last two games of the regular season. And really, you weren't that great against the Saints either. The Saints are just that god-awful. And so, you know, I think the hard reality is that they're a good team. They're an ascending team. They're a talented team. Their quarterback went through second-year starter growing pains. They don't have a clear-cut number one wide receiver that they can count on when the chips are all on the table. And that's why their season is over and other teams are still playing.
Jason Bullard was the name that you mentioned there. That just hearing his quotes, they were very mature for a young man. And Tucker Kraft also stood out. One of some of those moments.
Robert Kraft is very mature.
Yes, yes.
And some of his behavior is for mature audiences only.
Yes. So, Tucker Kraft also just came across, I'm not in the locker room, but just you hear people and you're like, that guy sounds like he also understands it and maybe a leader, a future leader. Coach LaFleur said today that basically looking for more vocal leadership out of Jordan Love, which to me is a red flag on Coach LaFleur asking a player who I believe is a leader to lead in a different way than they naturally would lead. Like, I feel like that is always a recipe for disaster. So I want to ask you, how do you describe Jordan Love's leadership style? And our poll question is being a vocal leader something that comes naturally or can it be taught? Because Jordan Love from the outside looking in looks like a leader, but he's not necessarily a vocal leader, and asking someone to lead in a different style than they're comfortable with, I just don't know if that works.
Well, in what way does Jordan Love look like a leader to you?
I guess just the way that he carries himself and the way the players talk about him. Again, I'm not in that locker room, so it's me. The players seem to say nice things about him, and he seems to be someone who has the demeanor of someone who works hard and people follow.
Well, I say nice things about Matthew Hamilton. That doesn't mean I think he's a leader.
Oh,
right?
I am.
Like, yeah, good. You and Tucker Kraft. You can both announce that you're going to be leaders.
Or Robert.
Or Robert Kraft, who's going to announce that there's a 2-for-1 at the massage parlor. But look, I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of his at all.
Neither am I. I don't know why that came. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why that came up to be a Robert Kraft joke.
Right. The other option was Kraft mac and cheese, right? If you were going to use the word Kraft and not mean Tucker Kraft. But look, like, I don't know. None of us can speak to Jordan Love as a leader very clearly because he's not leading us.
Yep.
If I'm a player, though, and I want to follow somebody, sure, there's guys that lead by example. But let's make sure we understand that there are different ways to be a vocal leader, too, right? Like, there are, you know, you can talk to guys one-on-one more. Like, this doesn't mean you got to stand in the middle of the G in the locker room and scream that they called us a bunch of cream puffs. We're going to go out there and kick their ass. Like, that's not necessarily leadership either, right? And
right.
So I don't think it's unreasonable what Matt LaFleur said today. And look, this is the reality of being a quarterback. Like, the job, part of the job description is leadership. And, you know, one of my favorite college players who I watched play a lot, and, you know, the girls when they were little got to, like, get their picture taken in front of his locker when we went on a tour of the Oregon football facility, and they got to meet him and all kinds of cool stuff, is Marcus Mariota, right? Yeah. Who was what, the number 2 overall pick?
Just saw him play the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the questions about him was his leadership style in terms of commanding the room and commanding respect. And he was beloved at Oregon. You know, he was not a rah-rah guy. I don't think leadership is one size fits all. And I don't think Jordan Love has to completely revamp the way he leads. I think what he needs to do is, you know, just take a few more opportunities to speak up in meaningful ways. And I think that's what Matt LaFleur is looking for. Like, this isn't about, you know, sprinting out onto the field with your team and then getting in the middle of the huddle and yelling a bunch of profanities or going and planting your flag at midfield of the opposing team or any of that stuff. Like, that's not leadership. But, like, if he needs to speak up more and speak his mind more, you know, I think vocal means talking. Vocal doesn't mean yelling. And certainly, you know, communicating the standards and the expectations is part of vocal leadership. Whereas, you know, if you're Aaron Rodgers and your vocal leadership is yelling at a guy as you come off the field, you know, some guys that may work for. I always thought in some ways he got a bad rap because we don't know how different guys need to be led differently, right? Like, don't yell at me. Like, you want to get the best out of me. Quite frankly, the best way is to say, look, I need more from you. I was disappointed with how this went. I don't like to disappoint people. But if you're just a jerk and you yell at me and you tell me I suck and don't suck as much as you suck right now, that doesn't help me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what exactly Love does as a leader, but, like, he's certainly not a rah-rah guy. You certainly don't get the sense that he's certainly not like Rodgers embarrassing guys, throwing his arms up and going, oh, my God, I can't believe you ran the wrong route. But I do think that there is, look, we are all growing, even at my ripe old age. And I think he needs to grow in terms of how he commands respect. No question guys like him. But I thought one of the telling things that LaFleur said was he's one of the guys. And that's a good quality, right? You want to be one of the guys on a team. But then in those moments where you got to be someone who kind of rises above that station a little bit and be the one who pulls guys along or gives them the push they need, then you can't be just one of the guys. You got to be more than that. And I think that's what Matt LaFleur wants.
So, Jason, you had a chance to talk to, I'm assuming, a lot of players and sit on LaFleur's press conference and whatnot. I'm curious, like, what was the most, like, eye-opening thing that was said that you were like, that makes, like, a ton of sense, or that was surprising that so-and-so feels this way? Is there anything that stood out to you after talking to these players, after having a couple days to adjust the loss?
When the kick returner slot guy cornerback announces that he's done returning kicks and he just wants to be D CB1 that took the cake. And I loved, you know, Domofsky and I were both kind of angling for, you know, which one of us is going to ask LaFleur about this in the press conference today, and how exactly are we going to go about it? And he asked the question, and LaFleur chuckled and took a drink of his water and said, "That was interesting." And then told us that he and Keyshawn were going to have a meeting. Not like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you said that, and now we're going to have a meeting." Like, they had a scheduled meeting, exit interview type meeting already, and LaFleur made it very clear that that would be part of the conversation. And rightfully so, right? Like, I don't, again, that's great if that's his mentality, but I don't think LaFleur necessarily wants players coming out and saying what they are and aren't going to do. His quote was, "Keyshawn and I have a really good relationship. We have a meeting today to talk about this. I love Key. I do. I love how he competes. I love how he prepares." Not sure why he said what he said.
I want to get to Mike McCarthy, possibly to the Bears, but I want to ask one more Packer direct question here, and that is Tom Clements, kind of a big deal and a really good coach. Jordan Love, still a developing player, still obviously has a lot of room to grow. I would say he had a stagnant year. I know Tauscher said regressed based off the end of the year. But regardless, they have to replace a pretty important position. Packer people in the know, like you and others, were pretty excited for Jordan Love that Tom Clements was around, and now he won't be.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Jordan's going to be going into his third year as the starter. He had Tom Clements for 3 years, right? One as the backup, Rodgers' final year in 22, and then for 23 and 24 as the starter. So he did have him for 3 years, which is a good thing. At the same time, you're right. He's great at what he does, right? And I mean, it's interesting because, you know, LaFleur or McCarthy promoted him to offensive coordinator in like 12 maybe, and then gave him the play calling duties for a year in like 15 and regretted it and took him back before the end of the season. So I think Tom Clements is like the quintessential guy that should be a quarterback's coach, probably shouldn't be a coordinator, just like some guys, and I'm sure there'll be some that get hired in this hiring cycle, so you should be worried there, Bears fan. that guys that are good coordinators get hired, and then they turn out to be not very good head coaches. You guys, your Bears have been through a few of those, right? Like, Eberflus was a good defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Literally not a great head coach. So, in Clement's case, he was great at it. And what a cool through line of Favre, Rodgers, and Love that he coached all three. But, you know, they've got Sean Mannion, who retired as a player only a couple of years ago, who was in Seattle at one point, and I know my buddy John Schneider was telling him, "You should be a head coach. You're going to be a head coach in this league someday." And he was just sort of on the staff as like an extra body. He's a possibility. Connor Lewis is a guy that's been the assistant quarterback's coach, does a bunch of different things. So he's in the mix. So they've got some options there. Luke Getsy, you know, he's unemployed
yeah,
again.
Yeah, hire him back. Yeah.
you could. Well, I mean, look, again, as a quarterback's coach, maybe he's a good hire.
Maybe, yeah.
Offensive coordinator, not such a great hire, right?
Yeah.
So, again, I don't think it's certainly going to be something that really hurts Jordan's development. But I'll say this, for all of the things that we say that aren't so positive about the former number 12, him bringing in Tom Clements and convincing Matt LaFleur to hire him was an incredible blessing to his replacement. Like, you know, let's be clear, he didn't do it for Jordan. Aaron did it for Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
It was not, we got to bring in Tom so he can develop the guy that's going to replace him. No, he wanted him for him. And 2022 obviously didn't go the way he wanted, but he got another year with Tom Clements. But it was an incredible blessing. I mean, his ability to improve guys' footwork and fundamentals and mechanics is unparalleled. And so Jordan Love benefited in a huge way from that.
So speaking of quarterbacks benefiting from coaches, I feel like I'm in the minority with Bears fans here. I am completely fine with the idea of Mike McCarthy. Maybe
you you're fine or bullish on it.
I don't know what that means. What are you
like excited for it? You want it?
I
is he your number one pick?
Bearish.
Yeah, bearish. I don't want to be bearish on it. You know what? I am kind of looping into like he's my number one. I like Ben Johnson too, but to your point, there are questions with Ben Johnson, and I've kind of joked about this, Jason, that if Bears fans are complaining in a few years that we're losing in the playoffs, that's great because we're not getting close to him right now. So Chicago might want Ben Johnson, and he might be the next wunderkind coach, but Chicago might not need Ben Johnson. They might need Mike McCarthy. You sometimes need to be able to crawl before you walk, and the Bears are laying flat on their stomach. So someone has to get them up to crawling, to walk, and then they can worry about the next big, great coach. But Mike McCarthy's got a Super Bowl ring, a lot of wins, and he's developed Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, and he helped Brett Favre. So it seems like a pretty good coach. I wanted your opinion on that.
I so want this to happen.
Same.
But I'm the guy that wants Caleb Williams to be good for the rivalry. But this, again, the layers that it would add to this rivalry that has been so dormant for so long. I know, hey, big win in the finale to get to, what, 5 wins? Great. But I want this to be, like the Vikings-Lions game was on the last day on Sunday Night Football. I want the Packers and Bears both sitting at 13-3, and the winner's going to win the division at 14 wins, right? Like, that's cool. That's Papa Bear Hallis and Lombardi and all that cool stuff that just hasn't been happening in the last 30 years. So the idea of Mike McCarthy coaching this team, not only from my personal feeling of believing he's a good coach, but just in terms of what you said, like, he is a program builder.
Yes.
Right? Like, the Cowboys were a mess. He made them less of a mess. They didn't win a Super Bowl under him, but they got to the playoffs. He had success. He helped fix Dak Prescott, and then they overpaid Dak Prescott. In Green Bay, Brett Favre had thrown 29 interceptions the year before McCarthy and Clements got here. He threw, 18 the following year, and even fewer in 07 when he had an incredible renaissance. I mean, Mike McCarthy knows what he's doing. You're going to win a bunch of games. He's not a doofus like that organization has tended to hire.
God, trust me, there's a lot of doofuses. Oh, my God.
Are they going to win a title? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
But he's the builder who then, somebody else can come in potentially and take them that next step. Kind of like, wasn't it Gruden who did that with Tony Dungy?
Yeah,
they're very different people, obviously, but like, he's kind of like Dick Bennett.
Yeah,
that he is a builder. He builds programs, and if that's what he does for the Bears, then Chicagoans should be ready to put a statue of him up by the time he's gone 5 years in, and they've made the playoffs 4 straight years. He can get them to the next level. And then, like in 2010, you catch lightning in a bottle, you play really well in the playoffs, and you end up with a Super Bowl ring like he has.
Thank you, Jason. Matt's lukewarm on McCarthy, so not to the Bears, just
in
general.
I'm sure we're in the minority. Like, he is undeniably not the sexy hire.
Yeah.
Not at all. But he may be the smartest hire they can make.
Yeah, so we did have a quick little back and forth yesterday. Who would you rather go on a road trip with, Matt LaFleur or Mike McCarthy?
Oh, Mike McCarthy for sure.
Yeah, you want to elaborate on that at all or no?
Well, I haven't shaved in like a week and a half, so I've got the gray beard going him.
Yeah, okay.
We're kind of the same size, roughly. He's a little bigger than me, a little older than me, but I just think he, I'm not a big beer drinker. I know you are. I know you love your Coors Lights, but I just think he'd be more fun. He's a great storyteller. I get along great with LaFleur. It's fine. Like, I had a good conversation with him on Friday. Obviously, today he and I had multiple back and forths during a press conference, a little unconventional the way that played out today. I even interrupted him once. but I've enjoyed covering both of them, but we're stopping at a bunch of, you know, barbecue joints on the drive, and you know, we're not going to Bennett's or whatever that place is called that we discussed recently.
Yep, Bennett's.
But
you want to remember to accidentally show up there sometime. So.
That's true, exactly. The kids love a good buffet,
right?
I'm definitely picking Mike. Why? Who are you picking? Because you're kind of, Matt, you're very handsome, but you're not always well. You're kind of unkempt at times.
Yeah, I kind of look like a homeless person now.
Yeah, and I don't see Matt LaFleur ever allowing Matt to be. So, like, he wouldn't even want to hang with you.
That
right?
might.
You're
maybe.
Kind of slovenly.
Maybe. Yeah. I ended up leaning back towards McCarthy after we hashed it out.
I had to talk him into McCarthy. I said, just put down your Aaron Rodgers torch and really think about it. And I was like, you and McCarthy would get along.
So. You would really like him. Yep, absolutely.
Jason, thank you so much. We took up too much of your time. We appreciate it.
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde. We're going to take a break here. But if you are able, please help people affected by the California wildfires in 2025. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover. That's redcross.org/ESPN. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.